clergy officiated at decisive moments in people's lives, when they were baptized, when they were married, when they died. So the clergy were omnipresent and omni-influential in medieval society. Finally, then, those who work. In our tripartite scheme, these are the peasants, the farmers. So on this reckoning, only those who worked the land actually worked. Well, from one point of view, that's absurd, isn't it? Lots of other people did work. But in this medieval scheme of things, those who worked on the land were those who worked. Now, those who worked the land varied tremendously in terms of status, from slaves, particularly on frontier regions, to quite well-off, quite prosperous, free farmers. Now, the period from about 900 to 1100 saw an increasing concentration of rural population near castles. Partly this was compulsory. Great warriors, great knights, were sort of organizing populations around their castles. But also, castles would themselves tend to be sited where there was water, supply of water is important, where there was wood for fuel, for building and construction, where there was iron, we've seen in our last lecture all those reasons we need iron, where there was a church, and where there was a cemetery. A cemetery anchors a community in a very powerful way because the living don't really wish to leave the dead behind. Well, as we begin to see then all of these different forces anchoring communities in certain places, the power of local notables who were consolidating their own positions, as we've seen, forming themselves into lineages, more and more easily and readily and willingly, eagerly, reduced people to subordination, reduced people into various forms of what we might call serfdom. Now, people lived in communities that we often call manors. Once again, there was a tremendous local variation all over Europe in how manors were set up and how manors were operated. Fundamentally, a manor was a bipartite estate. Now, what that means is this. One part of the estate was set aside for the benefit of the manorial lord, the person who owned the manor, the person to whom the manor had been assigned by a king, by a duke, by a count, by some powerful person. The other part of the manor was worked by the peasants who lived there for themselves. Now, the ratio between the part of the estate worked for the lord, called the demesne, and the rest of the tenancies, the rest of the holdings for the ordinary peasants, varied a good deal. From usually the demesne would run something like 25% to 40% of the land of the estate as a whole. So bipartite doesn't mean you divide it down the middle. It means it's in two parts. All right? Now, the point of the system was to free important laymen for the duties of ruling and to free members of the clergy for all of the roles which they played. If you had an estate, people worked it for you, provided your wherewithal, freed you from the responsibility for working the soil yourself, and left you free to undertake other responsibilities. Now, the growing prosperity of high medieval Europe produced major changes in some areas. Personal services, for example, were increasingly being commuted into cash payments. Greedy aristocrats wanted money. They wanted money to buy things. They wanted money to buy things that were being brought in by all of this trade we talked about in the last lecture. Well, if your peasants owe you work but not money, and you want money, you're very likely to start commuting their work into money. You start turning them into wage laborers, and you start turning their wage services into payments to you. More serfs became free in France and in England than almost anywhere else as a result of this. People were basically able to begin buying their freedom, securing economic advantage. Peasants began banding together to enforce their customs. Now, these were regulations that governed village life. They were often fixed for as much as a century at a time. And they showed that even the people at the bottom of the social scale in medieval Europe had some capacity to influence the system, some capacity to influence those who governed them, some capacity to work out the conditions of their own lives. On the whole, the lot of those who worked in medieval Europe, who lived in a village community, was the locus, well, the village community was basically the locus of their life, and the lot of their life was, on the whole, not bad. People worked 250 to 270 days a year. There was a lot of free time, time for celebration, time for a community celebration, time for people to come together to worship, to hold market, to hold court. Well, it was in this Europe, then, of the High Middle Ages that we can talk of those who fought those who prayed, and those who worked, the basic groups of people. What we must turn to now is the question of how all of these people were governed.